Good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. If you could all rise for the reading of God's word, if you're able to do so. You, that means stand up. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. And after I say it, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you could repeat together by saying, thanks be to God, and then just have a seat, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated and pray for us. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, again, if you leave us to ourselves right now, nothing significant is going to happen. Nothing miraculous. God, you are a miraculous worker. Yeah, we want to pray for miraculous things. And so I pray that now, that all the power of heaven, the resources there, will come in the reading and the preaching of it, that will come with irresistible power to change us, to give ourselves to your word and to prayer in 2019. Families will pray more. Youth students will pray more. College students pray more. Couples will pray more. Help us now, I pray. I did not come with eloquent words or words of wisdom, but a demonstration of your Spirit's power. We need you now. Spirit, come with power. Lift up Christ now. Display him that your people might see and worship. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Last week I preached to give yourself to the Word of God in 2019. Again, by not just reading it, but giving yourself to it. And today I want to again summon you, every one of you, and plead with you, lead you, exhort you, challenge you to give yourself to prayer in 2019. My goal in this sermon is that you will become a daily regular prayer people and not just a crisis prayer people. Say one more time. That you will be a daily regular prayer people and not just a crisis prayer people. You know what that is, right? When things are going okay, right? Life is going good, no problems, and often you forget. You don't pray, right? That's what the Israelites did all the time. Life was good, they forgot about their God. Actually, God warned them over and over and over again. Don't forget me. When you go into this promised land flowing with milk and honey, right? Days will be good. Don't forget about me. Don't forget me. Don't forget to seek me. And when life is not going the way we planned, when life is not going the way we like it to be, then we seek God. Don't do that. Yes, pray when there's a crisis in your life, but don't pray when there's crisis alone. You know, we all know that we generally don't like people to call us when they need something, right? Like, right? You only call me when you need something from me. You don't call me because you like me. You know what I mean? You only call me when you need something or there's crisis. Most people and God don't like that. You know? You know what that's called? You don't really like me as a person, but you're using me. You know? So be a regular prayer people, God's people, this 2009, not mainly a crisis prayer people. Don't make God to be a butler when you need him. Because he's not your butler. All right. Now, why is prayer worthy of your time in 2019? That you should spend a good part of your life every day to pray to God. Because you're talking to the Creator God who made the heavens and the earth. And let me try to help you understand what's happening. Okay. This is the universe. Gong. This is our solar system. Bong. This is the United, this is the planet Earth where Earthlings live. Bong. This is United States of America. Doo-doo-doo-doo. This is the great city of Milwaukee, or the great state of Wisconsin. Ta-da! This is a city of Milwaukee. Ta! This is LCC. Dee. And this is you. In other words, without question, it's not even an argument. Praying to the Creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Almighty God, there can't be nothing more grand, nothing more important that nothing higher that a human being could engage in talking, conversing with the creator of all. I mean, just let that sink in a little bit. I mean, just take a couple seconds and like let that sink in. What's happening? I think one of the reasons why we don't pray as we ought to is because we have no clue what's really going on. You are talking to God, and He talks back to you. Incredible. It's an incredible privilege. That's what prayer is. It's a privilege. I know you've heard that many times. It's a gift given to you. It is the grace given to you. Take it. Receive the gift. This is a grace. You know, a lot of you guys think prayer is like what? You know, I've heard and study have shown that prayer is the least practiced Christian discipline. Okay, if what I say is true, that God is the creator of the universe and you are beep, okay? Incredible. Prayer is beyond any question the highest activity of the human soul. Nothing greater activity that a person can do other than praying to God. Also, prayer also is an ultimate test of man's spiritual condition. Here's what one of the greatest preacher in Christendom, Charles Spurgeon, said about prayer. Quote, "A prayerless soul is a Christless soul." Wow. A prayerless soul is a Christless soul. Did you hear that, youth? A prayerless soul is a Christless soul. You don't have Christ. Prayer is the lisping of the believing infant. The shout of a fighting believer, a requiem of the dying saint falling asleep in Jesus. Do you know why non-Christians who are not born again don't pray? Pretty much, not really. You know why? Is because the reason is prayerless is because they don't think He is real. You know, saying prayer is a good thing to do every day right now is just nothing to someone who is not a believer, who is Christless. They're not going to do it. No matter how much I tell you, if you are of such person right now in this room, I tell you, please do it. Talking to Creator God. Beep. And that's not going to convince you. It won't. It's just like me when I wasn't a believer for 19 years. Who cares? I want to talk to my girlfriend or my friend. That's more meaningful. Talking to God, He's very little to me. Video games are more relevant. Talking to that, spending more time in that or whatever than prayer. Ah, come on, Pastor Tim, you don't know me. You don't know my life. Come on. It's easy for you to say. I mean, I have school. Don't you understand? I have school. Good night. You know, come on. Like when I was back in high school, like I didn't really study for the SAT. Until maybe junior year or something, or my parents forced me to take this SAT class. And it's like, okay. You know, now people are studying, or parents are making them encouraging them to study for the SAT junior high, I heard. Eighth grade, seventh grade. So I do understand. Yes, you have school. Not just school. You got flute practice, violin practice, piano practice, sports practice, and traveling team, and other extracurricular activities on top of school. It's hard. Volunteering. I mean, I did some, I haven't talked to a lot of Marquette students, but I bet it's similar. And Cornell students, they have this crazy thing where they have to just pack their schedule. To rest for a little bit, an hour a day, is a crime. So I would ask them, oh, hey, that's me for lunch. I'm too busy. Because they're really busy. Because they have school, and between school, they just pack with other stuff, research, other extracurricular, organizations, and they're packed until at night. They really don't have to, they're busy. They are. Your parents, you're busy. You are. College, if you think you're busy, or high school, if you think you're busy right now, to get married, do you have kids? Three, five, two, and a little one. So I understand. I do understand. But it is interesting when college students, when they're busy, they're really busy, and then they meet a girl. Pastor Tim, I'm busy, I can't meet. And then all of a sudden they meet a girl, and there's lots of time. Plenty of time. What's going on? What's going on? Something they value, something they treasure, what do? Even though they're busy, they make time. Right? They make time. I remember when I was dating Tasia long distance. I mean, I'd be on the phone for hours because I wanted to. I enjoyed it. I got things to do, but I want to be here. And so with prayer, if you really understood prayer and the gravity of the transaction that's happening, you will. I don't even have to say, pray. Do it daily, regular. You will. You won't be a chore. You won't be a spiritual discipline. My life is not going to go well. I don't get good grades. Oh, I'm going to pray. It won't be like that. You'll want to, just like you want to spend time with your girlfriend. You'll make time. Hours. You will. Prayer is a very grace of life that God, again, gives you when you become a Christian. Is a grace that you feed. Just like you feed on the Word of God, prayer also is a grace where you connect with the author of life. And then when you do that, there's vitality and life. You know what? I mean, you could tell even physically when someone is connecting with God through prayer. You could tell. You know why? Because things that comes out of their mouth. When they're praying, connecting with God, the latest gadget is not in the conversation. God will come out of their mouth because they're connected with life and they feel it. They know it. Not all shriveled up. because you're not feeding yourself and you just get frustrated. Those are frustrated people who don't pray. Not with someone who has connected with the God of grace. Be filled. You'll be nicer. That's not the real goal, but you will change when you actually connect, really connect with the author of life and receive the grace that you need, life to your soul. Amen? So receive it. Receive the grace to get life. It's not a chore. It's a privilege through Christ. The privilege that you have now through Christ to enter his throne. It happens. You know what the throne is, right? You know, when you pray, the Spirit of God lifts you up in his grace, in his power, into the presence of God. And when you go into this throne, the temple in heaven is an awesome place. The Bible describes it. It's a privilege. And there is a king in his awesome glory sitting there summoning us past the angel. Even the angels get close. They got to stay at a distance, covering their eyes, covering their feet. You know what the angels are, right? They're massive beings. There's 10,000 of these beings, and their body is here at LCC, and they spread their wings, and tip of their wing goes all the way to Chick-fil-A, and the other wing goes all the way to the airport. They're massive, tens of thousands of beings worshiping, surrounding the throne, and you, through Christ, go past the angels, past the elders who are closer to the throne, past, and you sit there talking to the King of Kings. Are we understanding what's going on? And you don't want to go there? Is it a chore for you? Daily regular is a chore for you? Shouldn't be. It's like meeting the president every day. Times 100,000 billion times 100,000 billion. I mean, sorry, that was a bad example. You might not like Trump. Yeah, we're in Wisconsin, right? So, no, I believe they voted for Trump. Not that I'm a Trump fan, or I'm not really into politics as much. I mean, the president that you like is meeting him every day, talking to him about grand matters, state matters. Or forget president. Maybe you don't like president. Maybe it's the top like movie star or singer. I mean, what's the top movie star right now? I have no idea. J-Lo? Is she passe? I have no idea. Back then it was like Britney Spears and J-Lo, and I don't know who they are. Okay, whatever. Whatever movie star, you're privileged to like go into their room and talk to them. And the person invites you. You'd be like, no, I'm too busy. No, you will go every day. Because if you do that and everyone knows you'd be the most popular student in high school, right? You know who I met today? Again? You know what I mean? Prayer is a very grace of life that God gives to you, Christian. My brothers and sisters, take heart and take advantage of it. Whether your life is going great or not, he invites you. He's your father. Say, come, child, come, take. I have life, I have gifts to give you. And yet, a lot of you, listen up, a lot of you, don't do it. What a tragedy that is. Prayer is also, as most of you know, is a relationship with God. You know, this word relationship with God is always thrown around, but it's a real relationship. is a close relationship. You see why it's not only mainly when you pray to God, when you have a crisis. I mean, do you do that in a relationship? I mean, do you, husband and wife, do you do that? Only talk when there's a crisis in the family and then you have real talks? I mean, that might be a relationship, but it's not a healthy relationship. That's a time bomb in the end, ready to explode. That's how relationship work. I don't just talk to my wife, and it's not just like, you know, oftentimes a lot of you spouses and couples, you only almost like you're in the same like world and the same house, but you don't really talk to each other. Have you noticed that? You really don't. When problems happen about your kids, you talk, but you don't really like search into their soul and really get vulnerable and talk. That's relationship. Not just being around each other is relationship. It's really talking and sharing the most intimate struggles and fears. Do you do that? Not that I'm the best at it with my wife, but I think she knows my fears. And I think I know her fears. And so we pray to God about those. That's a relationship. Something intimate. And you could have that with God. You know, like when I pray in a congregational prayer, it's so different when I just pray to God myself in my private place. It's so different. Okay? It'd be a bad prayer when I did that personally here. Okay? Because I don't really speak in complete sentences. You know? Sometimes like, you know? I don't know what word to say. Help me, help me, God. Help me. There's no way in heaven where you don't spend quality time communicating with your loved one and call that a relationship or love. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. That's how I do it. That's what love is. You talk daily, regular. Or that love is milk toast. It's not love at all. It's all a facade. Don't you see? And lastly, I know I've been, it's a text. In the text in Ephesians chapter 6, I see one way to pray because of what's happening. Paul is telling the church and you, there is warfare. Whether you know that or not, there is. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of Satan, there is a battle. And you're right in between it. You know, often you read this and like, oh, that's not my life. I don't see some principality of the air, the dark forces. That's in movies. No, that's reality. So Paul is helping you. This is reality. There are dark forces and Satan who's trying to destroy you and me. He says in the Bible, he's the father of lies. And his lies with his servants are everywhere, all around you, in your schools, around your friends, in the media, everywhere. His lies is pervasive. He's a principality of the air, Paul says. He's trying to help you, give you information of your surroundings. And I like to say, this adversary, this great adversary, one of the Puritans says, he never sleeps. Your kids are threatened. I know it. I'm aware of it. With my kids, I do whatever I can to give them truth. I have to. Because Satan will come and lie to them. and give half truth. It is your job, parents. I know I'm trying to give you all these burden and guilt. I'm not trying to give you guilt. I'm trying to help you. If this is all true, parents, you need to give your kids truth. You need to read the truth. You have to. Or your kids will know you're fake. They will. They can smell it. It's not genuine from the heart, from experience. It's just religious talk to them. You know what that happens? It goes one ear out the other. They're not really listening to you, parents. They're not. They pretend. I remember one student, I did some youth ministry, and we're driving to our you know, Friday night meeting, you know, and come on, youth student. I know what you guys listen to. It's not a secret. All your parents probably know what you're listening to. And I was asking this student, oh, what do you listen to? It was like a junior in high school. And she was really honest. She's like, I'm not supposed to tell you. Actually, no, it was one of the junior high, like sixth grader asked, or Ruth was 6 to like 12. And she's like, oh, what do you listen to? And she said, oh, I'm not supposed to tell you, okay, you know, because Pastor Tim is here. But I'm going to tell you anyways. I'm listening to this, but I shouldn't be listening to it, you know. What do you think those teenagers will tell you, parents? They're not going to tell you the truth. They won't. Because you'll pounce on them. That's what. So you need wisdom there. You need wisdom there. You need to know God's word so well that you could really actually help them at that time with a massive spiritual battle. The things that you shouldn't be doing, and you know. And look at what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about Satan. In their case, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim, not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give light. Light of Christ. That's what happens. You have unbelieving spouse, unbelieving friends. You know what's going on? You gotta know. You could pray right. Satan is blinding them. So they're in darkness. No matter what you say, not gonna make sense to them. You know, a lot of you guys probably even haven't given up with your friend or family members or spouses who are not Christian. Because, I mean, I've given up, you know. It's not going to happen. Of course it's not going to happen by you. You don't have the power. You don't have light. So, take heart. Don't try it yourself. Pray. Pray to God who gives light to your kids. Don't give up. You know, one of my testimonies is why I became a Christian. It's not because I was in the right group. It's because my parents prayed. God, give light to my children, please. For years. And we're still praying for I'm the youngest and the middle one, you know, for light all these years. Take heart. Don't give up. God can give light to your kids, unbelieving kids who are not walking. Maybe they seem to walk in high school and youth, but college is a huge test to most of your kids. You know how many kids leave the Christian faith in college who were active in the youth ministry? Over 50% who are active, who are really involved, like those like the praise team leaders, you know? Leadership, they leave. I make countless of those students whose seem to be okay. And when they go to college, falls apart. And it gets worse after you graduate from college and hit the workforce. It's a battle. It's a battle of unbelief. You gotta pray. Pray for your kids. Pray for yourself. Number two, the second sort of the spiritual warfare is this world, not the world that God originally made. That's good, okay? It's the world that sinners have turned this world into. Lust affair of the things in this world. Do not love the world or what? Things in the world. The key word there is love. I'm not saying don't have a car. It's okay to have a car. Hobby or like cars is when you love it. Is when you're engrossed in it. Where you love that, whatever, more than God. It supplants God. Job, whatever it might be. Do not love the world or things in the world. You know, I don't think I really like cars. I was into cars and souping it up. You know, I don't have that much money, okay? Cost, so you don't have like money to do like an engine replacement or something, you know, turbo, but I did cosmetic stuff, okay? But I realized not the love of cars that I was really interested in. You know what I was really interested in? No, it wasn't car, okay? That was like at the outside. Inside, I really love myself, okay? You guys got to define with that, right? Right? Car defines you. So if you drive a nice car, right? Man, people will think you differently. You know what I mean? You have a certain job, right? They're going to think you're somebody. You live in a certain house. When I was in college, my parents were not very rich. Pretty poor. And when I was young, I didn't even know that, but I found out later where my parents tried to get a house, like a small townhouse. And then one of the realtor friends found out how much my mom made. My dad didn't work then, okay? I was a pastor. And she was shocked. How can you survive in this income? Getting $325 an hour, you know? 40 hours with family of five. You can't afford a house with this. So you can imagine, we didn't go on vacations, like you guys. We didn't even go out to eat. I remember, okay? And so we lived in a house next to this church that we're borrowing from the Caucasian white church, parsonage, and they allowed us to use it for free. It was an old, rundown 1950s, 40s house, red brick. It was just terrible, okay? And I used to be ashamed. I used to hate going home after school, you know, because it was an hour and a half away, and I didn't want my friends, my fellowship friends, to see where I lived. I was ashamed. Because what did I do? I try to create this persona, who I am. I'm the complete package. Sports, you know, grades. And this little weakness of like where I lived was a stain of this image that I was trying to build all my life. It's an empty image. It's just nothing. As I look back, I was like, this is a sad life. Man, it was a sad life. It was nothing, and I was trying to make it something out to be, you know, it was nothing. And I used to never go home. Of course, I don't want my friends to look at where I lived, you know. The love for the things in this world, love for it. You know who helped with that? God. That you have enough of the things that you need in this world and not love it. You know who could control that? Not you. No, you are a sinner. You're going to lust after the things in this world. And only God. And that's what happened to me. When I got converted, the things that I was building my life in, it all crumbled. Grades crumbled. You know, I was living my life and trying to build this person that everyone will like me. And when I got converted, God set me free from that. Now, I mean, I'm not saying I don't want to drive nice cars, okay? I do, but now basically it's like going from A to B. I'm seriously, you know. Car is transportation. It doesn't, you know, but I never used to think that way. God changed me. God changed me. The person I am about things in this one and my relationship to it, not love it. I need it. Yes, I need a house. Yes, I need a car. Different things, okay? I love this. Everyone should get it. iPad Pro, you know? I use it for everything. It's a cute tool. This. I'm no paper, you know? If this was gone tomorrow, life will be okay. You know what I mean? Whatever it is. Car is gone. Yeah, it might be inconvenient, but my life is not about cars, houses, or nice things, but not love affair with those things. And only God could help you with that. Lastly, I know I'm running out of time here. We got to do communion. Self. The flesh and the self. Selfishness, pride, desires of the flesh. You are weak, I said. And I had an example of this, but it's going to be kind of long. But let me just tell it anyways. I have a friend, a family friend of a, I don't know, give out the name because, you know, you might trace and find out who this person is, but family friend of cousin, a smart guy, you know, graduate from UPenn, University of Pennsylvania, smart, super smart. Graduated from top of his class, got into this investment banking where it's like, you know, the company buys the bank and then they chop it up and then sell it and then they make like a lot of money, you know? And he was good at that. And he would literally just work few hours and make, I mean, seriously, his bonus was like crazy. His salary was right there, but the bonus he got with investment banking was like crazy. It's like, really? This is it? It's like 5-6 times your salary. Like, how does that work? And it was successful, young, you know, and then he got into, nothing wrong with drinking beer, but he got into alcohol. And one time we were, you know, we met and we were, you know, helping move, and then he was like, I mean, he was downing these beers, you know, like water, 10, 20, 15. He was like, it didn't even faze him, you know? If I drink one beer, I was like, ah, two beers, you know? But, and he got into just over time, just heavy drinking, and he was smart enough to like work from morning to the 12 o'clock, get his work done. And from 12 all the way to midnight and in the morning, he would go into the bar, local bar, and he kept drinking. He's like, cheers, seriously. He would drink for years. And you know what happens when you do a lot of drinking? I mean, your body starts deteriorating. You can see that. His brain was just like, couldn't think anymore. He got fired. Super great potential. And then he got fired. And the last time out, he was living in a car. Didn't want any help. He got help, fixed that, and then he got into gambling. You know, one like flesh desire after, I mean, he was trying to fix himself. Forget drinking, but he got another addiction, gambling. Forget that, and he could be another addiction, probably something else. And he was into working out. He was like jacked up. All kinds of addiction. It's because God was not changing him. He was trying to change himself. Only God is able to change you in 2019 through prayer. You're weak. You and I are weak. We're so helpless before God. And let me give you some applications. You know, you high school students, you youth students, you know, the praying during lunchtime. Do you guys lunchtime? Do you pray? Like, not really? College students, do you pray? when you eat? I used to be embarrassed to pray when I was your age. You know why? Because I don't want people to look at me like I'm some religious freak. They're going to judge me. They're not going to be my friends. You believe in Jesus? All eyes look to you and you give our food at the proper time, the psalmist says. And for you to sit there, you know, when you eat the food your mom, your parents made or someone, you know who gave you that? You know whose resources that was manipulated to get you there? It was God. You live in a God's world. This God made this. And all the resources that human beings manipulate for their gain is all God's. All the companies, all the benefits, you know, and the profits, it's all from God. They're using his resources and his smarts that he has given them a brain. You know what I mean? It is a tragedy that you and I don't sit there and say, and don't thank God for that. It's crazy. I don't want this guy to like judge me and I don't want to be his friend and acceptance. I do know the pressure, but who cares? You students, college students and young adults from working at your companies, who cares? You thank the Lord who gave you, who's sustaining you to give you everything that you need. You're helpless little infants without him. Don't you understand what's going on? You got to understand a little bit of reality. That's reality. We can't be living in this false, false world. Pray. When you eat, it's a good thing that your parents taught you, hopefully, to pray. It's not good to pray to God who gave us those good things. So give yourself to prayer. Amen, God's people. My brothers and sisters, take it and give yourself to prayer in 2019 as a gift. Receive it. Eat it. I pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, forgive us for our lack and our short-sightedness and our lack of knowledge. Help us to give ourselves to this wonderful gift and grace that you have poured, given to your children to take for our good. It is a lie when we think it's a chore. Lie of Satan, lie of our flesh to not want to engage in the greatest activity in the universe. To talk to you, maker of heaven and earth. Help your children to get a hold of this. Holy Spirit, convict us now. I pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen.